Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you from the Rocky Mountain town of Crested Butte, Colorado. I am your host, Mark Troutman, CFP. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Welcome to this week's episode of Mark's Money Mind. I have two special guests here today, live in the house that will be sold shortly. The two guests are my daughter, Katie, on
Hello.
My left.
Hello, happy to be here.
And her good friend, Jessica.
Hi, everybody.
Here. Yeah. So let's give you a quick update on the housing situation. So a lot of stuff has transpired in the last week. I would say the biggest thing is the big purge, right?
Absolutely.
So you guys were here doing a lot of purging as well.
Yeah, first day.
Huge help. Yeah. And we also looked at a one-bedroom apartment here in Crested Butte.
We did.
Which we haven't actually signed the lease, but it was said that it's ours. So we're going to get that. It's a furnished apartment. So that's awesome. And we'll be able to get that lease started on September 1st. So we have some overlap. So that's going to help a lot with the moving of stuff and everything. We don't have to move it all to a storage facility. So that's cool. I have my friend Kevin Sebesta, who was on the panel with me at Campfi Week 2. He was my co-host there. He's coming out to help in September after our Mediterranean trip that we're going on soon. So yeah, we have a lot going on here. And, you know, the house sale is progressing. So that looks like it's all on schedule. And what else? Oh, yeah, there was a property that came up in Longmont that looks very intriguing. And hopefully that's going to work out. It's
for
in kind of the Phi Central space. So that's very exciting.
Super.
So anyway, yeah, awesome. Oh, and you picked me up the other day in Longmont.
Yeah,
that was cool. So Jessica was coming to here. Originally, Katie and Jessica were going to share a car to
come everything here. Changed in a matter of what, 15 hours maybe?
Yeah. I think the night
worked
before.
Out well,
yeah, the night before, Katie said, well, Jessica's actually going to drive down by herself later because she has a meeting. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. She's going to pass right through Longmont. I have two cars. I've got to get one there.
Yep.
So maybe if I get up early, I can get up there and then you could pick me up, which you were more than happy to do. And then we drove by the hopefully potential house. And
explore
we
saw Dusty.
Yeah, we saw Dusty. So hey, Dusty out there. You know, we saw
Shout
you.
Out.
So looking forward to that. So that's enough of the housing saga. And I'll definitely keep you informed as to how that is going. And we're actually going to talk a little bit about housing today as well. Jessica and I had a really nice drive. It's about a 4.5 hour drive, I would say.
Yeah.
So we had a nice conversation and we said, hey, let's do a podcast about Bill. Yeah. So very cool. So Jessica, why don't you tell us maybe a little bit about yourself, where you are in your phase of life and the questions that you have for?
Absolutely. I've probably been graduated from college about probably 2 years coming this December. And I graduated with a degree in journalism and media communications. I've been pursuing that field more on the public relations side. So I work at a library, which I love. I'm a big reader, have always been a big reader, which is why I went into writing originally. And I'm actually turning 26 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
We all know that milestone in the FI
community. Yeah. Big one, absolutely. And I don't know, me and Mark were chatting about how I feel like I'm leaving young adulthood and moving towards true adulthood. And that's what led us to this conversation and the questions that I had about homeownership and what that process looks like. I'm obviously coming from a place of no net worth really at all. I don't have anything to present other than what I've been doing in my work and my job. And I do have a partner and he just got his master's. And so the two of us are talking about our 5-year plan. And part of that 5-year plan is hopefully a home to get the ball rolling, really.
So you say to get the ball rolling. So I'm curious, there's a big discussion about should you buy, should you rent? And it sounds like you have an intention to want to buy at least.
Yes.
What is the reasoning behind that? Is there a specific reason you feel you want to buy a house versus rent or anything to that?
I think that like the, I don't know, part of me feels like renting, I'm continually spending money rather than building a future. I went to college, got a degree, got a job in a field that I care about, am committed to this person. And the future is something that I think goes along with moving to young adulthood to adulthood. Like, I'm looking to prosper in the future. And I think having a home and a central place that I like am making my own is a dream, A, and B, I just think a better investment in terms of renting versus owning.
Okay, that's a great conversation. Because have you ever seen the podcast? It is on YouTube. I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi.
I just gave her the book.
I was just about to say, okay. I have the book, but I haven't heard the podcast. Okay,
so he talks a lot about renting versus buying. It's also in that book, so I highly recommend that book. That is one of the books I give out to the high school students. And yes, you can build equity in owning a home, but the cost can be substantial.
Yep.
So you've got to buy the home. You might have to fix it up. Typically, if you're going to buy your first home, it's probably not going to be perfect. You're going to have to pay property tax, insurance, and so forth. And typically, and we'll get to this because it was actually a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal that I'm going to link to, came out in August 11th. So that's just a few days ago, about the current situation in the housing market. Mm-hmm. I've rented and I've owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going from owning to potentially renting.
Yep.
And what I have found is that it's not clear cut that buying is always better or renting is always better. It depends. And in many cases, renting can be much more financially savvy than owning, provided that you're putting the extra cash that you would have been spending on a house into investments or something like that. So I wouldn't say that you have to buy from a financial perspective, but a lot of people like to buy because there's a sense of pride, there's a sense of ownership.
Right.
You can do what you want to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Your mortgage, provided that you get like a 30-year fixed rate loan, the mortgage is not going to change the principal and interest payment. The taxes will continue to go up and the insurance will continue to go up. But at least you can lock in kind of that mortgage payment.
Right. I think, like, when do you make, like, the choice? Because obviously I'm moving into a place where that choice is opening up, that door is opening up. And if it's a possibility, when do you kind of,
like, when does one outweigh the other?
Yeah, yeah. When do you kind of...
It makes more sense to do one versus the other.
Right. And I think, obviously, there's more to that. It's not black and white. But I do think that there is, like you said, a sense of moving forward in the stages of your life where you do choose to own. And how do you read even the market? How do you even start the process of looking, if you will?
Sure. Yeah, so first, I'd just like to, you know, I like the conversation to start off with. A lot of people feel like they have to own something. And I feel like you can rent or you can own. You can still make it your home.
Mm-hmm.
Renting does have its challenges because your landlord can say, I'm not going to renew your lease. Or your rent goes up by 20%. You have no control of it. And you can't always... Yeah, you can't always... I'm just saying there's pros and cons to everything, right?
Entirely.
There's definitely pros and cons. But I would say the key thing to think about is being well-versed in wherever you're buying.
Right.
So I would say that the thing I like to do is go on like realtor.com and really understand the market. So right now I'm looking in Longmont, for example. I am in that, and there's other sites too. I just use realtor.com. You could use Zillow. You could use, I think, Redfin is another one. I'm just familiar with realtor.com. And I'm always looking at what's coming on the market, what is sold. So I'll have a really good feel for that market. So when and if I buy something, I will know that I'm making a good
choice,
solid decision. So I would say that's the first thing is to get a real good understanding of your market. And it'll take a while. I think too many people move into an area. And I have some friends, Victor and Abby, by the way, if you're listening, I know you guys are, I think you might be in your moving truck right now, moving to Longmont. But they are renting. So they're getting their feet on the ground and they're renting because it's usually better to rent and get a feel for, especially if it's a new area too. Now, if you're going to move into the area that you're familiar with, you already know which neighborhoods are good.
Yeah.
If school districts are important, which ones are better than others or what have you. You kind of have a feel for where you want to live. If you're moving to an area that you're not familiar with, renting is usually hands down, the better way to go,
right,
at least to get
sense.
The lay of the land. Mm-hmm. But I would say the first thing to do is really get a feel for the market, feel for what do things cost. Go look at things. Mm-hmm. Go look at open houses. Mm-hmm. And I know one of your questions might be, how do you find a realtor? Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily pick a realtor just because they had an open house.
Okay.
And we can talk about that.
Right.
But the one thing I do want to bring up, and this is that article in the Wall Street Journal, and it's called Boomers Buying Houses Had It Bad in the 80s. Millennials Have It Worse. So this is...
Which is what we feel like, right?
Yeah. So you're... feeling of what the housing market is accurate,
okay.
Which is great. You're saying it just doesn't feel like it's a good time to buy,
right,
because
absolutely.
Costs are high, interest rates are high. So we can talk a little bit about why that's the case. So basically this article, and I'll put it in the show notes so people can see it. So in the second paragraph, it says home buying affordability has dropped last fall to the lowest level since September 1985.
Ooh.
And it fell near that level again in June. And then they go on to talk about what happened in 1985 right. to today. Now, in the 80s, there was very high inflation, so interest rates were really high.
Okay.
Today, everyone is looking at interest rates saying, oh my God, they're so much higher than they were.
Right.
But the reality is they're still lower than they have been on average over many decades.
All
so
right.
while it seems like rates are high, they are only high because you're looking at it, not you, but you as in a general you,
absolutely.
Are looking at it relative to what they were a few years ago coming mm-hmm. out of the financial crisis where the Fed lowered rates so low that mortgage rates were in the 2 and 3%. That was an anomaly. That is not normal.
Okay.
Where we are today, and rates did go up to a little over 7%. They're down now to about 6.5%. That's pretty much normal. But the problem is that housing prices, and there was a, it's mentioned in this article, and I can't find it exactly right here by just looking at the screen. Mm-hmm. But it said since 2019, housing prices have increased 50%. And please check me on that, read the article, but I believe that's exactly what it said. So what we're having is we're having housing prices have gone up and interest rates have come up as well. That reduces affordability.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's really where we are now. So it might be like, well, maybe now's not the best time to buy, but that's okay. Take your time, find the right property, make sure it fits within your budget. That's the key thing, because I see too many people that are younger stretch.
Okay,
because
yeah.
the realtor will say, you can afford this. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did talk to a banker recently, and they were saying that debt to income, meaning how much you could borrow on your property, can be as high as almost 50% today. That's ludicrous. And that's on gross income.
Entire mortgage.
Which basically means that you're going to live in your house and you're not going to do anything else.
Right.
But the lender would say, you can do it.
Okay,
but
yeah.
You should say, that's insane. I'm
like,
not
yeah,
do that,
yes,
right?
But that can't yeah. grow over time.
I don't want right. to be there, right?
Right.
Like, the
yeah.
goal
exactly.
is to choose to make this choice as a choice for the future, mm-hmm. for that prosperous future. And that doesn't necessarily mean like monetary wise, but
right.
just like
I mean,
talked about
in the own home.
Absolutely.
Like, update the furnace or anything like that.
And
if you're taking it this sole level at this 50%, that's. You're not going to be able to put anything into the home.
Right.
Well, and a lot of people will stretch to the point where they've scraped every dollar they have for
right.
the down payment and they buy the house and then they're like, oh my God, I don't have any furniture.
Yeah.
Or
right.
oh my God, the furnace broke.
Right.
Or I have to
do
fix
next?
The roof.
Well, yeah. now I can yeah. just like put in my work request
yeah.
that my stove's not working
well,
right.
and that's what you did the other day with your microwave, right?
You're like, that Jessica broke my microwave, by
okay.
the way. I hope everybody's taking note of that.
I broke it.
But for the benefit.
Kind of.
It was on its last legs.
You picked up the phone, you called
yep.
landlord, brand new microwave.
While she was still there taking care of the house. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. I was at home and was able to call them mm-hmm. and say, hey, yeah. please, I need a new microwave.
So that's one of the advantages. Now, in our conversations previously, you talked about, are there other ways to get a house and kind of house hack in a way, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
There are ways, and there's a great book. It's called Set for Life by Scott Trench. I'll put that in the show notes as well. I have yet to read the book, but I know the gist of the book.
Okay.
And it is on my reading list. And Scott,
I'm
going to read
it
on the plane, on the way to Athens. We're going in a couple of weeks. And that is the top book on my reading list. So
maybe we can read it together on the plane.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. And Scott gave you a copy and
oh, it's signed
it.
And
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, so
yeah, he brought me a really
you
nice.
Read the book.
I know, well, it's up. It's literally upstairs right now. I promise.
Right.
It's the next thing to read.
And I get the spark notes once you guys are done reading.
No, we'll
right?
give you. We'll give you a
no,
copy.
No, you have to read the
we'll
whole thing.
We'll get you a copy.
I'm kidding.
No problem. We'll get you a copy. Anyway,
no
so
cheat codes here, Jessica.
But he talks a lot about being able to buy your first home, how you can do it, house hacking. And you had mm-hmm. mentioned maybe getting a roommate. That is one of the best ways to kind of get into your first home.
Yeah.
Because typically, when you first start working, you're not making your maximum pay.
Yes,
right?
Which is where I'm at right now. And we were chatting about this. Like, obviously, I'm in an entry-level position, and mm-hmm. I've put in work to see this career out. But it does feel like everything is a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess, is this touches back on something I wanted to bring up a little earlier. I guess there's a fear. Like, it's very scary to consider a purchase, if you will, like a home, especially when I'm looking at what I'm making right now. And again, I know that this is not the be all end all. I have a future ahead of me, but it still feels kind of scary that I could turn this into something as massive as that. And that's like another leap I'm afraid of making, if you will.
Yeah, and I think one of the key issues, and this is something that Ramit is very big on, I'm very big on, Scott Trench even mentions it in his book as well, is being well aware of your financial situation to the point of what you spend, where it goes. Ramit talks about not spending more than 60% of your take-home pay on fixed expenses. And that would include things like, you know, your recurring expenses, your utilities, mm-hmm. your mortgage, if you have one, your rent, mm-hmm. if it's rent, and so forth, because you don't want to be up against the wall and saying 80%. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. I love that his podcast and YouTube channel. It's usually couples. I wish, or it's not usually, it's always couples. And I wish he would do some for singles too. But you'll see people come in there and they are spending 90% or even 100+% of their net income on fixed expenses. Mm-hmm. Well, of course they're feeling tight because there is no money left over. So one of the key things, obviously, is to start tracking and so forth. But getting back to the house hacking, so my cousin Emily, hey, how are you doing? She and
my cousin Emily.
Yes, your cousin Emily.
Your niece.
My niece. Sorry, Emily.
I was like, wait a minute, let me think about that. You don't have a cousin Emily.
I feel a lot younger than I look.
No, you look a lot younger than you are.
Anyway, yes. I was looking at you and thinking, anyway.
Anyway, my cousin Emily.
Cousin, my niece. Yes.
And Matt. Shout out.
Yes.
He's
so
my cousin too.
They bought a house together and had roommates. And that enabled them to, you know, it reduces the cost or the mm-hmm. total cost of the purchase, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're willing as a young couple mm-hmm. to take in a roommate that hopefully you like a lot and get along with, it can help you get into that house at a lower overall cost and jumpstart the mm-hmm. situation. And then down the road, once, you know, mm-hmm. if you're making more income mm-hmm. or the mortgage, which is static and your income goes up, feels like it's more manageable, you can say, you know what? We don't need the roommate anymore.
True. Mm-hmm.
So
true.
That is certainly one way to do it.
And this might be like a weird question, but how would that look legally if you had somebody? Would you be like a landlord?
Yeah, technically you're the landlord. You do need to report the income on your tax return and everything. There is an appropriate way to do that.
Okay. For your own protection, it'd be good to get some sort of
something
in writing.
You want to have a lease,
of course.
And everything. But that is, it's basically your landlord. You're just renting out instead of your whole home. You're just renting out a portion of your home.
Right, which is where we see ourselves, and I don't think we have a problem with that. I always tell Katie, I'm like, if this is the brokest I'm ever going to be, it's really not that bad. I have something figured out, at least. And I do feel that confidence and comfort. It is just, for me personally, I have never made a massive purchase before, and I've never even bought a car. So I can't imagine spending more than $10,000 on it. Maybe more like $5,000.
Buy like an $8 coffee this morning.
Yeah, like that's the whole point of transitioning. And that's where, I mean, 25 is to 26 is such a massive transition age. It is really saying goodbye to your young 20s. There's so much opportunity and excitement with that, but there's also a lot of responsibility that I feel sometimes like I'm treading water and not really being able to come up for air, you know, walking. I feel like I'm learning as I'm going. And I think it would be key to learn and then go, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I recommend these books or talk about these books, because I do think when you read books like I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi and Set for Life by Scott Trench, it's going to give you a lot of knowledge, mm-hmm. but it's also going to give you confidence mm-hmm. that you're making the right decision because you've gone through all the steps in the process right. to realize, okay, I can do this or I can't do this, mm-hmm. or I need to make some changes in order to do this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the reasons I do this podcast. It's just for educational purposes.
Absolutely.
And the idea is that the more education, the more knowledge you gain, the better decisions you can make.
No, absolutely.
And buying a house, literally, if you make a good first house decision, it can set you on a great path. Mm-hmm. If you make a bad first mm-hmm. house decision, it can be very detrimental.
Right.
So
right.
you really want to make sure you know, do that correctly. Right. And talking to people like me and Katie and friends that are knowledgeable mm-hmm. in this space, coming to Camp Fi, which you did 1 year, right?
She did. She's coming back next year, hopefully.
All right. That's where you get that knowledge and comfort right. and being in a community. And that's why I like the financial independence mm-hmm. community, because we're mm-hmm. always talking to each other. And I don't know much about real estate, but I learned so much True. From other people. And you would ask me about let's say you move to another home, should you keep your first home,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So one thing to think about is, and I think Scott talks about it in his book, again, I apologize, I haven't read the book, but I believe it's in there, talking about looking at, and I know Mindy and Scott wrote a book, and Mindy, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of your book. I think it's your first home purchase or something like that. I'll put a link in the show notes, and I just don't recall the title, but they talk about buying your first home.
Okay.
So that would be an excellent Absolutely. Book to read. Mm-hmm. But basically, they talk about it from the standpoint of, yes, look at it from the standpoint of it being your home. Look at it from the standpoint of as a potential house hack.
Okay.
Because then in that case, maybe you want the bathroom situation to be different. You don't want a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house.
Right. No, that's a really, really good point.
You're happy to manage that if you can also have a
right
different space that accommodates your needs better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe the space is a little bit more private. All the bedrooms are right next to each other. One is maybe in a different part of the house. Okay. So that's another thing. And then the third is looking at it is, well, what if down the road, I wanted to rent this house. How does this house work out as a potential rental? So kind of having 3 options. Mm. Can it be a house hack? Can it be our own home? Can it be a rental? And if it can meet all 3, mm-hmm. that would be great. And again, I will put the name, the book in the show notes, because that one just popped into my head. I think I mentioned it to Jessie Rose when she was thinking about buying a house, yeah, which she decided to rent for now. So
they did good. Yeah. Interesting. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, so I have to ask you, Mark, when mm-hmm. you were me, 25 going on 26, what did this look like for you?
Yeah, so we actually ended up house hacking, okay. not knowing that that's what we were doing. It's just looking back in time, I'm like, oh, we were house hacking.
It's like, yeah, like Grammy house hacked yeah. for you guys, and so, you house hacked for her.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the whole story was. Yeah. We were renting, my wife and I, Mars, were renting a house, and her mom owned this old Victorian house, mm. but she was kind of house
I'll tell
rich.
You the ghost
and
stories another time. Mm.
Cash poor. Yeah, ghosts. There are definitely ghosts in that. But anyway, and she needed to sell the house. She needed okay. to extract the equity from the home, get something smaller.
Because they purchased it as a family of what? 7?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of them in the and house. Then and there she was a grandmother in there.
Yeah,
and everything.
She was the last yeah. child. They had gone through a divorce, like it was time to
yeah, and she'd received the house and the divorce,
okay,
and,
gotcha.
But that was it. She had the house, that was it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Marge's sister Robin, hey Rob, and
we're talking
Mike,
about the Andersons all day Mike, here.
Yeah, we're living there, and then they built a house and they moved out, so mm-hmm. she was getting rent from them, and then we said, well, we'll move in and pay you rent.
Interesting.
And but we're going to help you sell this house.
No,
we're going to help you get
you
it ready to sell.
Got married.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when it was put on the market and there was a buyer, we said, well, and we were looking for a house at the time.
Okay.
And we had found a house, but we were like, well, wait a minute, you don't have anywhere to live. Mm-hmm. And this is her mom. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to just buy another house right away. I'm like, slow down. No, no, no. You need to like,
let's all take
your time.
Together.
Like, tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you move in with us?
Right.
Be our renter. Okay. And then you can eventually find your own house and do that. So we ended up, it was a not really rent. It was like she put the down payment on the house mm-hmm. in lieu of rent. And then when she left, we gave her that money. You know, we mm-hmm. paid her back.
Okay.
But it allowed us to take a much smaller mortgage on that property
okay.
because she effectively was putting the down like payment the money, on yeah. the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then her rent was effectively us not paying interest on that as long as she was in the house. So I mean, this was a true house.
Yeah, it sounds like right? pretty perfect.
And then it worked anything. Out that she found something eventually that worked out for her. And by then, our incomes had gone up and we could do it. And mm-hmm. you know, we also were willing to do some work. That's the other thing. So okay. maybe you find a house. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of finding that house that has good bones. So okay. getting a really good inspection and making right. sure it's just cosmetic and not like structural.
Right. Like not necessarily a fixer upper, but mm-hmm. like something yeah. that's.
Well, that's what you've always been saying about this new place that you're looking at is the house is great. I can live in it now. It's not exactly what I'd want. I'd love to fix it up, but I can change the house. I can't right. change mm-hmm. the location.
Right.
Right.
Which and is that's such a what's good important. Point. I mean, of course, we all watch House Hunters, you know. Location, mm-hmm. location, location. Mm-hmm. But I think that's entirely interesting to like point that out, that mm-hmm. that's what you need to focus on versus a house because, yes, location is the thing. But when you walk into a house, the first thing you're going to look at is, oh, this looks like not great or not mm-hmm. where I'd want to mm-hmm. live. And if you can get over that and your partner is very handy, mm-hmm. I think he would enjoy that a lot.
Absolutely.
Having a place to...
No, absolutely.
Put your touch on.
And that's like, I think, you know, I bring up the fixer-upper thing because it seems very trendy, if you will, or flipping a house even. I've just seen people be unsuccessful with right. it. And it just, I think it's interesting to say like good bones, but
yeah, it's and not that's a why, you know, thinking about the house that you and I saw because we drove by it the other day, it is in livable condition. And I think that's the key for most people is you don't want it to be in such bad shape that you literally have to do major renovations right away.
That's but an extra expense.
Yeah. It's good enough to live in now. Yes, you want to make some improvements and you can do it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do maybe some of it yourself or hire friends or mm-hmm. at least take your time to do those renovations as opposed to feeling like, oh boy, we got to do this kitchen and bathrooms and everything all at once before we can right. even live in this
move
house.
Feel comfortable yeah. in yeah. our space.
And then I find, you know, personally, I find that when you move into a house, if you can live in it for a while without doing much of anything, maybe mm-hmm. you can paint and do minor stuff, which is what my plan is with this place, if it works out. Because when you're in there, you'll realize, I really want to do it this way. Whereas true. When you just kind of look at it from the outside from the first time, you think you want to do it that way, mm-hmm. but later you realize I should have done it differently.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So, I mean, that's another way. I mean, you buy a house that... You know, like right location, affordable, mm-hmm. can be lived in. I can improve it over time. I don't have to do everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can have a roommate. That's the other option.
Right.
Maybe it's both of those are the option mm-hmm. and those kind of things. But yeah, there's a lot of options.
Right. And again, this is like a shout out to my level one five people out there because that's me. How do you even like begin the process of, we kind of touched on it for a little bit, but
like what's
sourcing
step one?
A realtor? I have no idea what that looks like.
Yeah, realtors are an interesting subject because, yeah, call Mindy.
Call Mindy.
Although Mindy usually only works around Longmont. But, so yeah. you're looking at Longmont, call Mindy. But yeah, finding a really knowledgeable person that understands, especially like if you're going to be talking about house hacking or wanting to potentially rent it down the road or okay. at least having it as an option, making sure it's a realtor that is really well versed.
And you have those conversations with that realtor,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, this is my future plans.
Yeah.
It's just if you're how they always say when you're going into a new job, mm-hmm. they're not only interviewing you, you are interviewing them.
Right. So,
and honestly, to a much more extent with a realtor, because whether you're selling or buying a home, that is the base of your life.
Yeah, your
the
home.
The base of your existence. Mm-hmm. Like that needs to be entirely represented from the right. person that you true. Choose, but also vet.
Yeah. I feel like I'm starting with no foundation.
Like what do you Google?
Yeah.
Realtor near me? Like,
yeah, kind of like I don't know what would be a bad, like what a bad realtor would look like or what.
Well, you probably want one that has been in the business for a long time. That good is probably
place.
Their primary mm-hmm. vocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their part-time
not a hobby.
Right? I certainly would talk to people who have used them previously. Recommendations can be good and bad. You have to be careful about someone saying, oh, I used my brother-in-law and he was awesome or whatever. Yeah. But you want to make sure that the recommendations you're getting, you're following up on your own and making sure that that's a valid recommendation.
Okay.
But I find, honestly, through connections, if you're involved in your local financial independence community, wherever, you're going to be able to find a good realtor by just talking to people that have used realtors before and have vetted them and are comfortable with the way that they operate.
Yeah, like have been successful with said person.
But definitely don't just go to an open house and the realtor's there. And
they're going
to
be like,
because they're typically a lot of realtors at open houses are hoping to get people to walk in that don't have a realtor. And they're like, let me be your realtor.
Right. And they're salesmen too. Yeah, so they do have that ability to kind of swindle you, if you will, which I think for people who feel a little, you know, drowning a little bit are able to be swindled, you know?
Yeah. And like, you know, I know Mindy quite well. She's in Longmont and I would be happy to talk to her and say who, and if you're looking in Fort Collins, who was a good realtor in Fort Collins?
That's not too far
you know,
away.
Not at all. She would be like, I know
I got you.
The perfect,
XYZ.
Here are three people to contact. She's not going to necessarily say, don't talk to somebody, but she may say, you might want to talk to this person instead.
Right.
Right. And I think that also comes with like, if you find the space you want to be in, you're naturally going to fall into that groove. Like we moved here and you even said if we were to pick a home from moving from New York, it would have been on the mountain.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, 12 years later, we're in CB South and this was entirely perfect for us. But if we jumped the gun and didn't rent to find our own space in the town, we wouldn't have ended up where would have been best for us. So I think that comes with like almost vetting the town, even if you know it,
right?
Like living in it is an entirely different environment. And that's also where, I mean, this is a small town, so a little bit of an exception, but we met a multitude of realtors who we were then saying, oh, I really enjoy this person. I see them similar to me. I would love for them to show me a house that they enjoy. And I think I would enjoy too.
Because you guys didn't move into this place when you came to see me.
No, we rented.
Okay. Yeah.
Three years. On the mountain.
Yeah. And that's the testament to if you're going to move to a new location, definitely rent to get the lay of the land. Because we came to a ski town and we're like, oh, you're supposed to buy a house on the mountain. You're supposed to be skiing, ski out. Mm-hmm. And what we realized that that's not really the preferred place to be if you're really going to be a full-time resident here. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I mean, people definitely live up there, but this is a neighborhood. This is very family-oriented. It's a little bit out of town. It's not in the hustle and bustle. So we wouldn't have known that had we not given it time.
Right. You just like, if you had just moved in and then now you're kind of like set back. I guess there's more freedom in renting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you have the ability.
And that goes back to the whole location thing too.
Right. Absolutely.
It's like we were able to find our space and then the home as well.
And also like grow into the town that you're now coming into because who knows what you're, like you said, you thought the mountain.
And that, and that brings up two points that I was just thinking about. One is if you're going to buy a property, you really want to be in that property for, I would say, at least 5 years to make the math work.
Okay.
Because there are costs going in, there's costs going out, and they're pretty substantial when you buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I find that five-year mark, you got to be really confident you're going to be in the house for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say the other thing, and this is what I did with this, you know, potential new purchase, is I wrote down all the things that I'm looking for in a home before I even looked for a home. You know, so I was like, I want my own bedroom. I want my own bathroom. I want an office. I want a guest room. I need a place for a little workout space. I want it to be relatively low maintenance. I want to be near X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, so then I'm checking everything as I'm looking at properties. Does it meet all of these things? I wanted a two-car garage. I wanted a place to park outside. And it was like, it needs to meet these objectives. They might not all work out, but I'd want at least a majority of those.
Well, my mom's always said when she has this, and I'll tell Katie this when we go shopping, if you don't love it in the store, you're not going to love it hanging in your closet. Like you have to be excited about said purchase for it to be worth being brought home. The excitement of buying something can cloud what you actually need in a place, if you will.
And then I also think that a lot of, especially first-time homebuyers, get so wrapped up in the first property that meets their needs. And they're like, gotta have it. And they get really bummed out if it gets overbid from where they can afford, or they feel like they need to stretch to get it or beat that other bid. And it's what I have found is that, you know, especially buying a number of homes over time, that there have been a lot of houses that have slipped through the cracks. We thought that was the right house. And we put a bid on it and it fell through for whatever reason. And when we bought this house, we were buying it during distress period. So we were looking at foreclosure, short sales, all these things.
And is that scary? Is that...
Is what scary?
To feel something fall through?
Yeah.
I view it as fate.
Okay.
If it if it wasn't meant to be,
the universe said
that's
no.
Fine. You know?
And honestly, that's not, I don't know, not a bad place to be. Again, I think it just goes down to this being such a massive step for somebody at my age, that, which is what you're getting at. If it doesn't knock all those boxes, am I making the right choice? Is this going to set me back decades into the future? Because that's the thing about choices as you enter your adulthood, the consequences are larger. And what could be a worse consequence than making a bad housing choice?
Yeah. And that first home purchase is really important. That's why I would definitely take your time, be very knowledgeable, surround yourself with people that are knowledgeable as well. In Colorado, you actually don't even need a lawyer. Mostly it's just done with the title company.
Okay.
But that's where having a really good realtor is important. So another shout out to Mindy selling this house here. She was willing to walk through the contract with me and she was pointed out a few things that should be adjusted. So, you know, having a really good realtor that understands all of this stuff and isn't just like, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's good enough.
Absolutely.
No, like reading every line and making sure all the boxes are right. They're, you know, they're in your best interest.
Well, here's my question for you, a little bit piggybacking on that. When do you say yes? How do you know you can say yes? How can you know you can put pen to paper?
It's always going to be a little nerve-wracking.
How do you get over that hurdle? How do you, like, mind over matter say?
Well, I mean, the way I do it is I say it's well within my affordability. So that's one of my personal key criteria.
Right.
It meets all the objectives that I'm trying to meet. It's on the terms that I feel are fair. I'm not always looking for the terms that are only in my best interest and not in the other party's interest. I like to do fair transactions.
Entirely.
I think over time, you just get a feel for the fact that it feels right. You know, everything, you've done your due diligence, you know you can afford it, it's in the right area, it meets all your objectives. And you just kind of have to say, I've done as much possible due diligence on this as I can. And yes, you can overanalyze. You could go down the rabbit hole of, well, what about this? What about this? At some point, you need to say, you're 90% of the way there, which is probably
the closest you're going to get.
You're never going to get 100%. Right. Otherwise, the deal's never going to happen.
Right. So. And I think that's like part of this conversation that I'm learning from is that there's nothing wrong with a little bit of fear and insecurity.
Especially your first time home. Home purchase is definitely going to be.
I'll call you, Mark.
Absolutely.
Is this the right choice?
What's going on? And trust me, all the cousins have done that.
Yeah,
too.
The cousins have done that.
You will not be the first.
I remember when Emily was calling me, and it was during COVID, I think, wasn't it right before COVID?
It was like around the beginning.
It was around
of it, for
COVID,
sure.
And all of her voices that were talking to her were saying, "Don't do it. The market's going to crash. Don't buy a house." And we went through the list.
And they have the most
amazing
house.
Can you afford it? Yes, we can afford it. And she had told me about having a renter that would make it even more affordable. And they were looking for a house on a lake. And I said,
a lot of criteria.
How many houses have you even found on a lake? And she's like
the two-car garage for Matt.
Yeah, you know? And I was like, don't worry about all these talking heads about the market's going to crash or anything. And in fact, it just continued to go up.
Yeah,
she was nervous. And we just went through kind of a checklist. And having somebody who is unbiased, like, it didn't matter to me whether she bought the house or
not. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, well, let's go through everything.
If it all works out,
then you have your answer.
Right.
It's because I was a non-emotional party helping her think
about it. You were more concerned about her making the best decision for their family versus them owning a home.
Right.
And making that milestone.
Correct. Yeah.
How do you know that you're financially able? What is a good ratio? We were talking about ratios on the drive. How much of a loan is too much? Like, when do you cut that line off?
Well, I do like Ramit's approach to the 60% of fixed costs, and it depends because the mortgage isn't the only cost, right?
Right.
So you have to look at the taxes and the insurance, and then maybe there's other areas that, like if you drive used cars versus buying new cars, well, that's going to create more space for other things like a house, for example. But if new cars are important to you, then that means you're probably not going to be able to afford as nice of a house, for example. Or if you're a big travel and don't travel hack, then and that could cost a lot of money too. So it all depends on where your priorities are.
Right.
But yeah, I would just say you don't want to be in a situation where you're stretching too much. And I do like Ramit's approach to like that 60% of net income being your fixed cost. Now, he will also say there are areas of the country where that just doesn't work.
Okay.
You know, like New York City, San Francisco, places like that, right? But in those places, maybe they won't have a car. And, you know, so maybe they can afford a little bit more.
They supplement another way.
And also, typically, and this is just having watched his podcast or YouTube channel quite a bit, he will say, you know, in some cases, a younger person may have to push that a little bit. Because it's just not feasible that they're going to be able to stick within the 60%. But, you know, their income has the potential to grow. And potentially there are ways to increase the income. So, you know, he will look at it from that perspective as well. Are there areas that you can increase your income? Certainly taking a renter is increasing your income.
So it is so kind of like a gray area.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
Really.
Absolutely.
What it is.
There's no right ratio.
Yeah. The banker I was recently talking to was 50% is fine. You know, I'm like, and somebody else may say, you know, because I was always like, well, maybe it's somewhere around 20 or 30%, but that's probably completely undoable for any property and certainly in the Colorado area.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So that's probably out the window.
Right.
You know, you're just going to be a permanent renter in that case.
Right.
But I do think that it really is a matter of looking at all your finances and deciding where do I want to prioritize? What am I willing to sacrifice a little bit to be able to do this? And maybe what is my income potential and is there a way to grow that? And
I like that. I feel like that takes something so massive and brings it down to a smaller scale. It's like you just have to evaluate your life a little bit more closely. And then you can see where you can make these bigger choices. It's like building blocks, if you will, which is, like I said, this is a huge, huge milestone, massive choice.
And I think
need to boil it down a
little
bit.
What you're saying is also really important too, because when you buy a house, especially we're talking about this kind of minimum 5-year commitment, that decision is going to affect every single month, every single year going forward. It's not one that you can just change.
Can't go back.
Or at least easily, right? Now, if you, let's just use renting as an example, and I'm not suggesting you rent versus buy, but I'm just saying in that case, you could always say, well, when my lease is up, maybe that two bedroom I was renting that I really couldn't afford, I can at least go to that one bedroom after my lease is up. When you own a home, it's kind of a more permanent decision.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you really want to make sure that it really does fit within the confines of your finances.
No, it is, because obviously I'm still in that transitional. And this is, you know, we're talking about this as if it's happening next year, which it's not, everybody.
We can take a breath. There's still not even dinks yet.
Yeah. Barely. We're definitely a good few years out. But I think as young people, it's important to begin that process early, or at least try to understand it instead of running out there feeling like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah, I was just scrolling down in this article because what you said kind of triggered something that I remember reading. It said, The typical first-time homebuyer in 1984 was 29 years old, according to a NAR, and I think that's the National Association of Realtors survey conducted at the time. In NAR's 2023 survey, the median first-time homebuyer was age 35. So you are nowhere near behind the game, not even in 1984 standards.
Right. Which, like, truthfully, I, like, feel like I'm in just in the learning process. Like, just – I remember being a senior in high school and talking to my mom about what it means to rent and what that process looks like, and I was terrified. I was like, I'm going to get there and have no idea what I'm doing.
I have to call the city and set up my utilities?
Right.
Like, what does that mean?
That's a huge...
How do you call the city?
Where
is the city's phone number?
How do I transfer one utilities to the next place? Like, at very baby steps. I like that because in our generation, it feels like things are moving really quickly because we just have access to seeing people move said quickly.
Yeah, right? And I think that is one thing about your generation is that you have so much social media exposure that you're seeing other people. And of course, everyone's showing you their best side, right?
Right, of course.
Oh, so-and-so just bought a house and they're 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Or in the FI community, oh, so-and-so, you know, on CNBC just retired at age 27 or 26 with $5 million.
Right.
It's like, that's not everybody. So not worried about what other people are doing, just worry about what works for you is so much better.
Yeah, because you can really be influenced. I mean, people say, you know.
Yeah, influencers.
It's
like you, Mark.
No, you're not a FI influencer.
When I went to the first Camp FI, I was telling Katie that her dad's kind of like a celebrity. Everybody, King Mark of Camp FI, because everybody comes up to him and is like, can I just borrow you for like 5 minutes?
And day two, like half the people are wearing your t-shirts.
Which I get, because I'm here
good t-shirts.
Asking questions as we speak, right?
So what other questions do you have about this? Anything that you can think of?
I feel like this was like a really good place to start. Like I said, I think making this massive thing feel smaller, because it is smaller. It is like a situation that you will learn and grow and educate yourself as you learn and grow and continue on. So I'm happy with everything that we've chatted about. And I feel like...
And you have homework.
I have homework.
You got a conversation to have with your partner.
T-minus about another 10 years and we'll sit at this table and ask. Then you guys can ask me, did you buy a home?
Maybe we can do an interview in your house.
Katie, what about you? You've been almost like a co-host in this show.
Yeah, I'm just supporting here.
Interviewed. Okay. Any thoughts on all this stuff?
Thoughts in general. I'm excited for Jessica. I'm excited that she's a little bit older than me and she can kind of do this before me, maybe. But no, I mean, I honestly find myself interested more in renting at this point. Just to get a lay of the land, find a place. I know that you and your partner have figured out that you want to be maybe farther out from society than most people.
Yeah, he is a mountain boy through and through.
He wants goats and chickens.
We're in the right place.
Maybe
from a aesthetic standpoint, but not from an economic standpoint.
Yeah.
A little pricey here.
Right. So I definitely find a lot of interest in the renting aspect to kind of try out a lot of things. I don't know if house hacking's there for me, but I don't know. Jessica's always joking about how she's going to be in my basement sometime, so maybe I'll charge her rent at some point.
She'll be house hacking with me.
Yeah.
There you go. That might work out.
Yeah, you and your partner can live downstairs or in our chicken coop.
Vice versa.
You're right.
I was thinking it was good.
My partner brought up chickens the other day, too, so maybe we'll just have them one big farm.
Yeah, we're all Colorado people, you know, pretty much born and raised, so... Gorgeous land is like high on my priority list. It is also a expensive request.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Well, I am excited to hear about your potential house purchase down the road and all of your education
you're
going to be doing on this subject. And I always like to give people the opportunity to, if anyone wants to connect or if you want people to connect with you, Instagram handle, anything like that.
I would say hopefully in a couple of years, I'll be able to give you maybe even sooner an update. And that'll be your connection to me, folks.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot out there, but he talks about me a lot. So,
right. Well, yeah, you hear about Katie on this show plenty. So,
which and I'm sure I'll be back on, and I'm sure you will be too.
Yeah, we're here for the long run.
Everybody thinks she's my sister
already.
So, yeah, I can't find everybody thought that Mark had two daughters, and I said, no, it's just me.
But yeah, just I think this year included. Someone said, oh, is your other daughter coming?
I know. Yes, people.
Yeah, she's just at home. She doesn't care of the dog.
I've wiggled my way into the family. That's exactly what I planned out to do. So
yeah, she's working on the trust next. So
yeah, right? Hey, Mark, what about the will? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. That's for another show.
Yeah, next episode.
But yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I was super excited that you wanted to come on the
Absolutely.
Show, and this is kind of the
no,
way
No, I think
learned.
This was an awesome opportunity for me, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are my age that don't have the ability to ask questions like this and have a free-form, flowing conversation, and I hope people out there listening take this opportunity and run with it, because a lot of us need to be taught, and there's not a lot of people teaching. So, thank you.
Cool. Absolutely. And Kate, anything you have anything to say?
No.
Just more packing, purging.
More packing, yeah. I've already started thinking about what can fit in my car and what can't. So yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes.
You're going to have to take everything.
We might have to split up the bar stools between me and Jessica's car, but yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Well, until next week, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.